Wednesday night Bible study here at the Eastside Church of Christ. We are thankful and grateful that you have decided to tune in and be with us this evening. I think most of you know that I am a part-time instructor at the Tennessee College of Applied Technology in Knoxville. Through teaching with my students, I'm able to observe their reaction to the way I teach and the style in which I teach. Based on those observations, I believe that I am confident in saying that you will not confuse me with any of the great teachers that you have heard in the past. Also, I need to mention that as we go along this evening, if I happen to do this, that means I have had a senior moment, and the words that I have forgotten, I will remember later this evening. Every family has a good storyteller in it. May not be in their immediate family, but in their extended family, there is someone that can tell a good story. We all love stories. Seems like a good story will bring the child out of each one of us. Every fall, there is a National Storytellers Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee, in Upper East Tennessee. Hundreds of storytellers come. Thousands of people from all over the United States will come to sit and listen to the stories that are being told. A good story is usually one that is told orally. It's not written down. It's not on a DVD, not on a CD, but one that is spoken. There is a great advantage to an oral story in which the listener can see and visualize that story in their own mind. They can flesh out the characters. They can set up the setting how they wish. Being able to see with their mind's eye gives them a greater mental imprint of that story in their memory. That is why a lot of us can remember stories that were told years ago, even to the greatest detail. Good stories are usually conversational in tone. They're informal. They are actually spoken to real people. It's usually a very calm and relaxed setting. Most good stories are brief. They're short. They usually seize our attention and keeps it and holds it until it's over. Being brief is an advantage in case someone gets bored easily. The story is usually over before they can turn it off. Jesus told stories. His stories were called parables, and he was the master storyteller. His stories are different from the stories that I've been talking about. I've been talking about stories that basically entertain and do nothing more. Jesus' stories were different. Jesus' stories added one more component to it. Every one of them has at least one main spiritual message, a spiritual truth, our spiritual principle contained in it. This spiritual component raises Jesus' parables to a higher plane than those of normal entertaining stories. Also, Jesus' parables have the ability, if we read or hear them with an open heart, to change us. They are also enduring over time because they all deal with the truth. Everyone young and old knows the parables. Even our younger children, 2, 3, 4th grades, know the parable of the talents, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, They know these parables. The parable that we're going to be looking at tonight is even known by some of the smallest children. Wise man built his house upon the rock has been a song that has been a vacation Bible school staple for years and years. When I started to think about this study, I thought that I would have everyone sing that story and then I would just sit down. The spiritual message or truth in this parable is very easy to know, very easy to understand. When this parable was spoken by Jesus, the multitudes that heard it knew immediately what his spiritual principle was. Today, as we hear and read this parable, we are also aware of this spiritual truth that Jesus was wanting to convey. As we look at this parable together over the next few minutes, I will probably not say anything that you don't already know. But hopefully this short study will bring to remembrance points that you may have forgotten. The parable of the two builders, the wise and foolish builders, are found in two places in the New Testament. They're found in the Matthew's account, chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, and also in Luke's account, chapter 6, verses 47 and 49. In Matthew, this parable comes at the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it comes at the end of what is called the Sermon on the Plains. There is some debate among the commentaries on whether both Matthew and Luke are talking about the same discourse from Jesus or whether they're talking about two separate ones. Either way, the parable itself is the same. The spiritual truth found in both accounts is the same. Now, Luke's account is slightly different than Matthew's in a place or two. When we come to that, we will look at those and discuss the differences. But the main truth and principle that Jesus is wanting to convey is exactly the same in both accounts. Let's turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and let's read verses 24 through 27. No, 24 through, yes, 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here Jesus is given the main part of the parable. It comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Before he gets to this in verse 24, he has already talking about the straight gate and the broad way in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7. Talking about that many will find the broad way which leads to destruction, and few will find the straight gate, the narrow way that leads to salvation. Leading up to this parable, he's also talked about and addressed the problems of false teachers in verses 15 through 20 in chapter 7, saying that you can recognize false teachers because of the fruits that they produce. What they produce will tell you whether they are a true teacher or a false teacher. Now, if we look at verses 21 through 23, this is kind of a prelude unto the parable that Jesus gives starting in verse 24. Let's read verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here Jesus says that at the last day, in that day, probably the judgment day, the day that all other days lead to, that there will be people that have felt and have thought that they have had a relationship with Him through their lives, that they have served Him and have done mighty works in His name. Many will think that hearing Jesus' words and believing in Him is enough for salvation. But they are deceiving themselves. If we turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, we read, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So if we just hear and do not know, we do not know what type of man we are. We can deceive ourselves. In spite of these people's religious service, their prayers, they had failed to obey the will of God. They thought that they were right, but they were wrong. Let's turn to 1 John 2, 3 and 5. 1 John 2, 3 through 5. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So, if we do obey what God says, then we are a part of Him. John 14:15 says, If ye love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 2:17 says, He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Revelations 22:14, Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gate into the city. So we can see that man cannot serve God with just lip service. True discipleship involves doing and obeying God's will. Today, there's many that probably fall under this admonishment. Various religious bodies don't teach and obey the whole of God's will. There are individuals who may have heard and obeyed God's plan of salvation and have entered into the Lord's church. But now, they do not continue being obedient to His will. They may make an outward show of worship, but they do not obey. They do not have true obedience. All these are deceiving themselves. In verse 23 of Matthew 6, Matthew 7, verse 23, it says, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here Jesus views those who do not do the will of God as lawless sinful, and wicked. Now, after he covers these few verses, Jesus now gives the illustration in this parable of those who hear and do his word and those that hear and do not do his word. Let's read again verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So here in this picture we see two builders, two houses, two foundations, two storms, and two outcomes. You can see that this is a simple story. Let's first look at the two builders. Let's look at how they are similar to each other. First, both of them hear. Both feel compelled to build a house, so they build. Both are subjected to storms. Both men may have thought that they had built a very sturdy home. They may have also felt secure in the actions that they had taken. If we look at the differences between the two, we see that one builder does, one builder does not. One builds on a rock foundation, one builds on a sand foundation. One house stood, one house fell. One was called wise, and one was called foolish. If we turn to Luke's account, let's look at it for just a second. Luke's account is Luke chapter 6. Verses 47 through 49. Luke 6, 47, 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose and the stream bent vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. From this account, we can see that the wise man was thoughtful, he was earnest, and he was deliberate in his planning. He carefully sought, chose, and prepared his foundation. He put in all the work and the effort required to do it. The foolish man, on the other hand, the account does not say that he was a bad man or a wicked man. It does look as though and relates that the foolish man planned carelessly and thoughtlessly. He had no vision of what may come in the future. He did not want to work very hard. He did not want to put in all the necessary steps needed for a good, firm foundation. He did what was easy. He did what felt good. He did what looked good. But it had no depth. Now let's look at the two houses that were built. From all indications, both houses were solid and upright. They did stand. They were equally sound and attractive, and probably the materials and the labor involved were very similar. Now the houses represent each builder's life. or his character. Many times, seemingly good people build their lives well in terms of money, material blessings, friends, careers, etc. All these things seem to be good in the human mind, but God looks at things differently. Let's look at the two different foundations. The wise man built on a rock. It was solid. The wise man planned and worked hard to make sure he had a rock foundation. The foolish man built on the sand or on the earth. It was shifting, not stable. It was easy to reach and easy to build on. So, the foundations represented what each builder based their lives and character upon. The storms that both houses endured. There was rain from above, flood from below, and winds that circled all around. The storms represent all the pressures and influences that will come to us from all sides throughout our lives. Both builders were subjected to the same storms. One builder had it no worse than the other. They both had the same things happen to them. But the two outcomes are different. The wise man's house that was built on the rock stood and withstood the storms. The foolish man's house built on the sand fell under the assault of the storms, and its destruction was complete. The man that built on the rock was called wise by Jesus. He built his life and character upon the rock of genuine subjection and true obedience to God's word. He not only heard Jesus' sayings, but he prepared, planned to work earnestly to do and to obey his words. In Matthew 16:16 through 18, Jesus is with his disciples and he asked them who they thought he was. And Peter says that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said that upon that rock, the confession that he was the Son of the living God, that he was going to build his church. Ephesians 2:20 says that Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone of our foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Jesus Christ is the foundation that has been laid. So through these verses we see that Jesus is our true foundation, that he is the rock upon which we build. And it's obedience to his will that will make our lives successful. Now Jesus calls the man who hears his sayings but do not obey them as being a foolish man. He hears, he thinks he is secure, but with no obedience to God's will, he has no solid foundation for his life. Therefore, without God, he has no hope. The foolish man's hearing is commendable, but failing to do and obey condemns and destroys him. His life's foundation was built on the sand of disobedience. When we started this study, I mentioned that the stories or parables of Jesus had one main component that made it different from other stories. Jesus' parables have at least one main spiritual message, one main spiritual principle. The main message, I believe, in this parable of the two builders is that God requires obedience. No one can make a wiser decision in their life than to obey God. Tonight, we must ask ourselves a question. Am I building my house on the rock of obedience or the sand of disobedience? Am I building my life on truth, which leads to salvation, or on error, which leads to destruction? Now, let's have a prayer. Father, we are so thankful that you love us and care for us. We are thankful for Jesus and the sacrifice that he freely gave for each one of us. We are thankful for your plan of salvation through which man can be redeemed out of sin and made joint heirs with Christ. We thank you for your word. We pray that we will become students of your word. Well, may we not only read and know your will, but may we be compelled to obey it because we love thee. Be with our church's brothers and sisters that are dealing with health issues. Be mindful of them and care for them. We love them and miss them. Forgive us when we fail thee, and may we forgive those that sin against us. May we always walk close to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.